Welcome to the podcast, Winning Through Culture, where we're helping entrepreneurs stay impactful and relevant. I'm your host, Tim Flanagan.
Today on Winning Through Culture, I'm going to be your host. This is Amanda Kramer, and I'm very excited to be back on an episode with our podcast. And we have a very special guest with us, Rebecca Miller. She has recently transitioned from an internship role with our organization to a full-time position as our digital marketing coordinator. Rebecca, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me on, Amanda.
Good. I'm glad to be with you in person. We've been able to work over the last 3 months in your full-time role and then over the summer virtually on many projects. And I'm excited to finally meet you in person and be able to do this together live.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things I think would be interesting for us to talk a little bit about today is that transition from that internship role, like how you came to know about our organization, and then really what factors played a role in how you transitioned into taking on a full-time position with us.
Absolutely. Well, I'll start a little bit from the beginning. This past spring, I was a senior at Anderson University, majoring in commercial music and minoring in business. And while it wasn't required of me, one area that I knew I wanted to grow in was internet and digital marketing. So I, having completed the prerequisites, took an internet marketing class with one of our professors, Dr. Giovanni Calisi. And as part of that class, one of the things we were working on was podcasts, and I got the opportunity to be invited with Dr. Calisi and another student onto the Unbreakable Leadership podcast with Tom Shea. And we had a really great experience. We were talking about how COVID was affecting higher education and the impacts that we had, and also how we saw the digital space being so vital for the future of businesses and organizations. And so with all that, I reached out to Tom Shea afterwards and just said, thanks so much for the opportunity. And he emailed me back and said that MassMutual was interested in talking to somebody like me and had found me, and that he knew Tim, our president. And so I immediately said, I would absolutely love to learn more. Did a little bit of digging on my own on MassMutual Carolinas, and then sent off my resume through Tom, and that got me connected through Tim, and the rest is kind of history. I got a great conversation with Caitlin, our director of recruitment, and Chelsea, our director of marketing, and we had some really good conversations about what MassMutual Carolinas needed and what Tim was looking to create in this position, including several initiatives that we're currently working on. And with that, we kind of just hit the ground running and ran with it.
I'll say, yeah, it kind of fell into place. And I had the absolute pleasure of getting to work with you over this summer on another project. However, you know, the podcast is near and dear, I think, to all of us as we started it this year. And just in the short time you've been with us, you've been able to help us get this platform even more ingrained in the community that we serve, which is just so cool to see. When you think about, you know, your experience in the interviewing process, going from the internship, right? So that experience looked very different, but also very similar to how it looked when you were considering a full-time position with us. Can you share a little bit about how, what you were thinking and maybe what factors led to you saying, you know, signing on that dotted line and being able to sit in this room with me today?
Yeah, absolutely. So just as a bit of background for my internship and currently for my full-time position, I'm fully remote. So I'm working long distance and dropping into the office about once a month. But that whole process was really, really great. Despite being remote, I got to build some really great personal connections with my supervisor, Chelsea, with my coworkers. And it was just a really great way of building community while online and through different tools that we have to have touch points throughout the week and projects that were meaningful and that were already contributing and helping MassMutual Carolinas and our clients and financial advisors. So providing that value to people, not only through creating projects, but also doing analysis and reviews of what we were already doing, was a huge step in encouraging me and building a relationship with MassMutual Carolinas. And marketing is something where, while I didn't get a degree in it, it's something that I've definitely felt more called towards pursuing
in growing and understanding. And a digital field right now is one of the most valuable positions to be in, especially with the limitations of distance and social distancing and space. Engaging and being personable online is one of the most valuable tools any organization can have. And the fact that I get to do it with a great company, with a fantastic culture and community, and continue to share that authentically with our audience online while continuing to learn and build the tools that I need to do that has been so fantastic. And it's really been a joy to transition from being an intern and very much falling into a full-time position, and getting to pursue and continue to pursue authentic interactions that continue to encourage and build and provide value to our clients and our financial advisors here.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And, you know, a couple of things resonated as you were talking. One would be, you know, our listeners are entrepreneurs and they're looking for ways to say, as we call it in this podcast, right, impactful and relevant. And I think the digital component, and specifically how you said to be personable in your online relationships, however you're going to market in that online capacity, really has to resonate. It really has to be relevant. Is there anything in that analysis that you talked about for the listeners that are out there that they would maybe consider, whether it's, you know, they are leading a company or they have their own, you know, private practice or something along those lines? Anything that just jumps out to you that you would say, oh, definitely consider 1, 2, and 3?
I mean, when it comes down to it, you have to really have strong basics and sound foundations when you're looking at digital media. And that means knowing who your target audience is. And not just knowing them by like their demographic, but knowing what questions are they asking, what problems are they having to face that they need solutions to. Because your job as an agency is not to be the main character of the story, but to be the guide, the person that comes alongside someone and helps them on their journey. So not only with, when it comes down to it, make sure you're digging into your basics and don't get lost in just trying to keep up with posting. Mm-hmm. Having, especially with social media, a schedule that works for you, that's got an authentic cadence for what steps you're able to take, but making sure you're focused in on who you're trying to reach. For example, here at MassMutual Carolinas, the group that we're really focused on is a lot of our financial advisors, and the platform that connects most with them is a platform like LinkedIn. But if you're looking at like a small business, one of the best ways to showcase your product might be on Instagram, especially if your audience is that like younger Gen Z millennial crossover of like 22 to 25 or 22 to 30. You need to be mindful of not only who your audience is and what questions they're asking, but where they are.
Yeah, I think that's really important because, you know, when I think about generations and how we go to market, it does look very different. Now, everyone kind of has their own cadence of how they receive information and where they go to kind of digest everything that's being thrown at them. But I digest information very differently than, let's say, my father or a coworker. I mean, it really doesn't matter. We all have our own personal profile. So I think that's very important as not only, you know, entrepreneurs, but also, like you said, small businesses, if you have a private practice, that you're constantly thinking about, you know, who are you really trying to reach and how do they consume information? Because it very well looks different from how you would consume information.
Yeah. And while it's time consuming, having a different strategy for each social platform is really the most effective way to get engagement. Because with Facebook and Instagram, those are much more personal touch type of platforms. You get a lot more engagement and a lot more interaction when you're posting like a photo from a race your company completed, or a photo of making sure you're getting people who are your team in front of others. You're getting a lot more from those personal snapshots of your company on those sites, and even on LinkedIn as well, but especially Facebook and Instagram because they're a much more personal page. And so it's kind of like your more casual content is on those platforms versus a more professional page like LinkedIn. You don't want to just have ads everywhere. The point is to build personal connection.
Right. Absolutely. So almost adding that like humanistic element to it. And I know a lot of people sometimes will say, well, you know, it's just our people are the ones who are on there. You know, we need other content, things like that. I find it very important, at least when I'm looking at organizations for whether it's for this firm to partner with or just in my own personal relationships, I'm looking for that element that they care. And a lot of the times that comes through their, I would say, exposure from the individuals who really believe in the organization's purpose or product potentially, and that really believe in the like fundamentals and core values of that organization. And I know you and I've had a lot of conversations around the core values that MassMutual Carolina stands for and embodies and continually promotes and is evolving in. And, you know, that tends to be a conversation where people get invested. So whether it's one or three or five or 20, I mean, core values should be limited in a sense. I do think that the more honed in those are, the more effective they can be in helping you build a healthy and resilient culture. You know, here we have five, and out of those, is there any of them or one of them that really stuck out for you in your transition process to A, come here in the first place, and then B, to really take on this full-time role and help us build our culture?
I wouldn't say any specific one stands out to me just because they've all been a huge part of my process of integrating into MassMutual. I count myself very grateful and very blessed to have a job out of college during a pandemic. The culture just shines through every interaction that I've had with a team member, whether it's us talking on the phone about several of our projects that we've been working on, or interactions just with, okay, I'm struggling with this, Chelsea, what steps do I need to take? There's a lot of growth and encouragement and focus on problem solving that's not necessarily tied to any sort of fear of failure, which is really encouraging transitioning from being more student-minded of that whole pass-fail mindset, right, to then becoming more focused on, okay, how are we seeking success together? And that's been a very encouraging thing, and also something that's even driven me further with the projects that we're doing. It's easy to get lost in some of the tedious steps of any sort of project, but when you focus back on those core values that we have, it's been really encouraging and also a good reminder as I incorporate those into several of the projects we've been working on, just to say, okay, yeah, these all foundationally build upon one another to build a strong, cohesive, and like growth-fostering environment.
Yeah. Given that you weren't necessarily in the major of marketing or digital marketing, and you know, you've landed yourself in a position, and very well so, in a position where that is your primary focus, how would you share with those who might be looking to expand their digital presence and they're looking for somebody to help them do that? Because we all know, as great leaders and entrepreneurs, we're not going to be, you know, 100% perfect at everything that we're doing. However, we surround ourselves with people that bring us up and fill in where we might have some opportunity. If someone's looking for an individual to help them grow in this space, what are some of the things you would tell them to look for in a candidate?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Specifically, if you're looking at digital marketing, you want to be looking for somebody who not only understands a lot of the basics when it comes to marketing to a targeted audience, but you want to look for somebody who is wanting to continue to learn and continue to grow in an area of digital marketing. With Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and any sort of social media, including YouTube and Google, algorithms are always constantly changing. So it's a constant process of learning, trying to stay ahead, and adapting to the changes that come across. But you're going to want to find somebody who is focused on who your target audience is and making sure that they're reaching out and providing value to those people, as well as, like I said, learning and wanting to continue to stay on top of things. You cannot stand still in marketing. And it's an area where you just have to keep growing and keep running. And the more knowledge you acquire, the more you're able to provide better value to your audience, provide better value to the hiring advisor who has you on their team, and the better value you're able to provide to potential clients.
You talked a little bit earlier about utilizing LinkedIn in a more professional capacity. And then from a standpoint of Facebook and Instagram, that's much more personal, right? It really can, you can utilize imagery and different items as it relates to, from a digital capacity, to really almost pull at some heartstrings occasionally and really make that emotional connection. Is there anything that you feel is where, you know, two steps ahead, right? So we're always consistently moving in the marketing space. Is there anything that you're looking forward to that you feel would be relevant and would help help those in our community continue to stay impactful? And too, if they don't have somebody in a role like yours that they could maybe be prepared for and be looking for when they're...
Absolutely. Yeah. So with our financial advisors, if you're staying ahead of what's going on in the world and what needs your specific target client area has, you're already on top of a lot of the game. By staying on top of what's going on, what's current, as well as what's going on in the future, you're able to stay tapped into what's going on. In digital marketing, we focus in a lot on what we call social listening, which is where you are looking specifically at your target audience. The best way we use to track this, especially on Instagram, is through hashtags. And so by seeing what hashtags are trending with, like, the hashtag financial advisor or the hashtag live mutual, you're able to see and get a glimpse of a snapshot in time of what else is being talked about in this area. And so as a financial advisor, one of the tools you can use, especially if you're working with younger families or if your target audience is veterans, or even if you're looking at like retiring couples, by knowing what those people are talking about online, you or what's going on that might affect them, you're able to provide value by listening. Because that's the biggest thing we have to remember about digital media. It's a dialogue. And if you treat it as a two-way conversation by not just you speaking, but listening to who your target audience is, you're going to be able to stay ahead of the curve. And the knowledge that you're already keeping up with as a financial advisor, you don't need anything, especially in addition to that, because you're already listening to what's going on in the future and you're already keeping an eye on what's going on. And so by applying that to your social media strategy, by talking about what's current with your clients, you're going to be able to stay on top and ahead of things.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's a brilliant point, right? That it is a dialogue. I mean, a lot of times people will enter into, you know, their marketing strategy or their whatever they want to call it as part of their business planning process. And it's simply, I'm going to connect with more people. I'm going to dot, 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 dot. However, there's the dialogue that's happening that maybe is almost like an undercurrent. And if we are paying better attention to the receiving component of that, then the more ahead of the game, so to speak, we can be. As it relates to hashtags, just yes, because I'm curious. Mm-hmm. When we utilize those, like sometimes you'll be on Instagram and you do hashtag puppy, hashtag mm-hmm. whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. And there are other people, right, that are using those hashtags, and it's almost creating this community in an online capacity. If somebody wanted to think about hashtags that were more applicable, that could help them understand what people are participating in from a dialogue online standpoint, is there any resources that you would direct them to?
Goodness, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think. There's a couple of websites and resources where you can look up a hashtag and see other trending hashtags around it. And you can use different like hashtag generating tools to help you create certain things. So for example, if we were talking about life insurance, not the most exciting topic for some people, but in the financial advisor world, like focusing in on life insurance for some people is very important to their whole financial plan and their steps that are taking forward.
Absolutely. Risk protection is a large component of making sure someone is taken care of.
Exactly. And so, for example, so every year there's Life Insurance Awareness Month. And so one of the things you can be planning around that month of the year is not only content around life insurance awareness, but also you can be focusing in on, okay, well, what questions are people asking about life insurance? And sometimes that can be the simplest thing of just searching the hashtag in Facebook and Instagram, just to kind of see what conversations are being said about this. There are also some paid tools that brands can use. There's several resources out there when it comes to social listening, when it comes to finding hashtags and resources. Honestly, Google is your friend when it comes to looking up these sorts of things. There's several sites that aggregate information of, okay, I want to have information about life insurance, and it will pull up like 20 more hashtags related to that hashtag, which something might pop up like financial advisor. Another thing might pop up like risk protection, but you never know necessarily what exactly is going to pop up. But by seeing what people are talking about, you're better able to engage in the conversation, address any questions, or help provide solutions to problems that people are having.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things you mentioned earlier was around that you didn't necessarily have, you know, you didn't graduate with a major in marketing or digital communications or whatever it would be called, right? There's a new title every time I look at it. My major is long, and that probably doesn't even exist anymore. But point being is that, you know, this is definitely a passion of yours. And I think you found an outlet that really speaks to the creativity component that goes along with staying relevant. Coming into an organization, whether it is, you know, ours, as you've transitioned into already, but if you were looking at an organization and they had, you know, a wellness program and they have a digital marketing effort where staff and associates can get involved and they have all these things, what are some of the key areas that you have found value in joining an organization, whether it looks like ours or looks like another?
Gotcha.
What would you say has really elevated and instilled that an organization cares, like coming from the seat of, you know, you said earlier about being student minded to now being in a professional role with an organization? What were your expectations and did those actually get met?
Coming into MassMutual Carolinas, I didn't necessarily have any specific expectations. But what I found and was delighted to see was how much cared not only for our work and for the projects that we're working on, how much people invest into their work, but also how much people invest into one another. And seeing that not only applied to me, but applied to the people around me, was really cool to see, as somebody who had never been in this sort of environment before. And especially working on several of the projects and initiatives we've talked through, especially ones that we've specifically worked on together, it was really encouraging to see how MassMutual Carolinas invests in each advisor and each staff member, encouraging and trying to foster success, not only in the business world, but also in the personal life, whether that's through some of the workshops we've done, some of the webinars we've provided, but even in just the resources, being a digital resource to some of our advisors, but also being a digital resource for the firm as a whole has been really fantastic. Not only because I get to be poured into by some very amazing, skilled, knowledgeable people, but also because I get to continue to pour out on the people who are fantastically skilled in other areas, but need a bit of assistance or a little bit of guidance when it comes to digital marketing.
I feel like you're talking about me. And that's totally okay. I am the first person to admit that I have a lot of things I'm good at and some things I'm probably great at, but there are areas of opportunity, and you have definitely helped fill that gap. I know, not only just for me.
Well, and that was a big part of bringing me in for my role, was that there was a gap in an area that was being as well covered as it could be by the people that were around. But part of building a strong organization with a great culture is knowing where some of your weaknesses are and seeking to fill in with somebody who's stronger in those areas. They might have weaknesses or less understanding of specific areas, but by bringing in people that you know will cover and cross cover over one another, that overlap is so key to building a strong organization.
That's wonderful. Well, Rebecca, it was so great to spend some time with you today. Thank you so much. I laughed a lot. I appreciate that. We appreciate the role that you fill in our organization. And I do hope that our listeners found some value in what you were able to provide as they're seeking additional resources and ways to continue to stay impactful and relevant.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Until next time, have a great one.
I've enjoyed spending time with you on this episode today, and be sure to continue along this winning journey with me. Thank you for listening to the Winning Through Culture podcast. And remember, stay impactful and relevant. To connect with us, you can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Winning Through Culture, and find us online at winningthroughculture.com, or just go to the show notes where you'll find all the links. We look forward to connecting with you and hearing from you. Thanks for listening.